Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That verse is probably the most familiar verse probably in all of the Bible. That verse is also the most wonderful, authoritative promise from God to humankind, to God's people, that can ever be made. I believe, though, that verse is a verse that we often take for granted. That God is good. Not that only He is good, but that everything else is good. That all things are good. That they work together for good. This includes the bad things. This is an absolute verse. There are no prerequisites, there are no conditions, there are no boundaries. The Word says all things. The Apostle Paul says, and we know. It means that you can know it. The problem is, do you know it? Do you know God is good? Just because you don't know it, does it believe that it's not true? What happens, though, if we don't believe it? If we don't trust it, we miss fellowship with God. We miss the blessings and all the things that God has in our lives that are good. I want to talk to you this morning about the fact that God is good. Now, we have been dealing, as you know, in the last few Sundays about a theme called Fanning Fear and Finding God. And the fear, I hope we've described or defined, is not a servile fear of saying God's going to catch up with me and He's going to zap me for I'm a sinner. But rather it's a filial fear. It's a fear of awe and reverence for God. And you know, we find in our world today that is lacking. I believe it is. We expect God to be some God that we can, you know, have our felt needs met and that'll just, you know, make us feel better. We need to see our God as who He is. That we would attest of that. And I believe that if we fear God, we'll know how to live and we'll enjoy that fear. That's how you find God. Not that He's not around, but embracing that is understanding an awe and respect for God in everything we do. And so in that theme, as you know, we talked about God is great. And He is so great, it should give us awe. And yet we walk around in a world that calls a milkshake awesome. God is the only one that's awesome. And we have talked about that God is God. And that means God is holy. And that's not about to change. God does not wink at sin. God deals with it. His Son died for it. Last Sunday, we talked about God being glorious. And that should make us see the admiration that we ought to have for Him just in creation. Of just the human body and how we put it all together. And how this very heart that we have pumps 2,000 gallons of blood a day, I'm told. What a blessing God is. How glorious He is. But today I want to talk about God is good. God is good. Now, I want you to see that. I want you to believe it and trust that God is good, because sometimes He doesn't feel like He's good. But all I'm doing is doing what God says. I'm not making this up. I mean, I'm not here to sell God to anybody. I'm not. Well, what I want to tell you is it's something that you can get a handle on your life and where you need to go with it. And how you deal and play the hand that God has dealt you in life. And quit trying to hide from Him and trying to say, well, I just can't mess, I'm messed up and whatever. Go ahead and stop listening to the devil. He is evil. You listen to God. And here's what he says. The Apostle Paul found God by finding his fear. We use that in Acts chapter 9 when God changed that man's life and he knocked him to the ground on the road to Damascus. And Paul says, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And you will find nothing more in your life more worthwhile than testify of that God is good, no matter what. I was preaching not long ago for Twainsboro, and a lady after the service told me that, you know, Brother Randy, my daddy was injured in a tractor accident. And because of that accident, he couldn't walk, and we took care of him for years before he died. She said, I never heard him complain. After that woman walked off, a man walked up to me, and I don't know the man's name, but he said, look, I knew that man, and said, one day I went to visit him. And I didn't know what I was going to say. He had been laying on the bed so long, and he had bed sores, and he says, I walked into the room and cracked the door, not knowing where to go in or not, and the man, he said, he pulled his legs up under the covers, his knees, and he saw me there, and he motioned, he said, come in here. I want to tell you how good God is. Now that is powerful. I want you to know that God is good. And He's good when life is bad. And you need to say that. You need to say that not necessarily in your words. You say it in your life. We have no reason to complain at all. And God is good. The first thing I want to say this about this subject is God is good all the time. All the time. There's a correlation with God's goodness and God's love. God's love is everlasting, so is His goodness. I don't think there's anything that we take for granted more, though, than those two things, God's love and God's goodness. We take them for granted. But here's the deal. It's not like the power goes off and that's when we miss the lights. Or when the well grows dry, we miss the water. Because God never goes out. God's power never goes out. What we do is take it for granted. You're right, Bill Akins. God is good. It's all good. Bill's told me that so many times. It's all good. Everything is good. And the reason God is good is because God is God, and God is holy, and God is great, and God is glorious. And so when I say God is good, I don't see that written here, do you? But I see that all things work together for good. To them that love God, them that are called according to His purpose. So then, who makes things work? God does. If your life is not working, the reason it's not working is you've missed God. You need to put God in the priority of your life and you see His goodness. David found this out in Psalms 31. He said it in Psalm 31:19. The Bible says that God has goodness stored up for them that fear him. You know, the problem, I think about this in the youth. I'm so thankful for the youth in this church. Appreciate Landon reading those scriptures and saying that prayer today. So many of our young men have been doing that so far. He asked me, he said, "Brother Randy, you still get nervous?" I said, "Every time, every sermon." I tell you what, you stay tethered to the cross with God. You understand that you need his goodness every day. God's got goodness stored up for me. And I think about the youth and that, I'll tell you, when we just live a life that apart from God, we miss out on his goodness. I'll tell you what happened to David in another place. You know the story in 2 Samuel 12. David, he looks out of the window one day and he sees a beautiful woman, Bathsheba. And he thought it was good. See, the deal is we don't know what's good. We think that drug is good. We think that investment's good. We think all this stuff is good. But we don't know. You better run it through God first. So David took that woman. You know what happened. And later on in 2 Samuel 12, Nathan comes to him. And he describes what happened. He describes how this, it's like a man taking the last lamb somebody has. And that's all this family had. And that, David said, then that man ought to be dealt with. And God dealt with David. And Nathan said, thou art the man. And David says, I have sinned. And he says, I've also forgiven thee. But Nathan says this in verses maybe 7 through 12 of 2 Samuel 12. David said this, or Nathan. He said, David, God has made you king. And he would have given you all this other stuff. See, that's the thing. We got to have it all now. But God has this goodness stored up. And all things, he has given us work together for good. Because that means that everything in our life, every event in our life, do you hear me? Everything, the good, the diseases, the death, the pain, the loss, the divorce, the sorrow, all things work together for good. Now, I did not say, you know, you listen to me, that those things were in themselves good. You hear me now? What I'm saying to you is that God, who is sovereign, worketh all these things together for our good and his glory. Now, that's the thing that's going to happen. You think you're here just by accident, don't you? Hope you don't. You erase that stuff. Because here's the deal. God is working in your life. And these things that happen don't just slip on you and God just went to sleep. God is using those things for your goodness, for the good, for his glory. And we got to let God be God. And we need to fear him. We need to have reverence for him. You see, don't you mess up and think about, well, the consequences for my sin, if God is, if I'm having to go through this, then God is not good. I was telling you about David. David had to deal with the consequences of his sin with Bathsheba. It doesn't mean he wasn't forgiven. Do not get the mix up forgiveness of God and his goodness. Because you can better well sure when you and I sin, we will be chastened for it. That's what Hebrews 12 is about. It's about the goodness of God. How he loves us. I told you this story before. My mama, when I was growing up, people use switches then on children. And my mama switched me. And my mama could run fast. And so I could run. I got to where I'd run from her because that thing hurt back of my legs. That's the tenderest part, back of your legs. I found that out. I'll tell you what I did one day by accident. My mom was got on me and I started running, but she got up too fast. And that stuff was getting hot on me, and I just turned around and I just hugged her right around the waist. And she was kind of whipping me like this then. And it didn't hurt me near as bad. All I'm saying this, don't run from God. And I'm going to tell you this about my mama. She was a good woman. Why? Because she would discipline her children. You parents, we think about our parents. Our parents are good. What makes them good? Because they give us everything we wanted? Oh. You're going to love your mom and daddy more, and you're going to be a better parent when you understand you don't get everything you want. That's what God's like. He's a perfect parent, though. That's God all working all things for our good, even the bad things. See, we have people say, I'm telling you, all things work together for good. God is good all the time. There's not a moment goes by that God is not good. There's just nothing in your life that slips up to God and it's not good. I hear people say, how could God be good and allow this to happen? I mean, these earthquakes, tornadoes, 9/11, COVID. I'll tell you, I was reading the other day in Genesis 22. You know the story. God tells Abraham, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, the son that you love. That's how God said it. He was emphasizing that you love this boy. You take him to Mount Moriah and you kill him and you offer him a sacrifice. Now, God said that. You can read it. Well, how is he going to be good? Don't sound so good to me. And Abraham did it. Why? Because he feared God. And so he believed in the promises of God. Because he knew that Isaac was a promised son. And that God could raise him. But his deal was to be faithful to God. And so that is our deal. See, we spend too much time questioning God's goodness when we ought to be more concerned about our faithfulness to his goodness. So, you know, Abraham offered, put him on the altar, and God steps in. He said, look here, there's a ram call there. Use him, kill him. Sacrifice, that was a ram. That was the type of Jesus. What God was doing to show his goodness is that he was showing to Abraham and to us how God's goodness is so good that he gave his only begotten son to die for us. Do not bring your goodness to God and expect to connect with him. It won't happen. You have none. Do not come with your merit. Come with your misery. Do not come with your prosperity. Come with your needs. And that's when God steps in and shows his goodness. You know, in a few weeks, we will celebrate what Christianity calls Good Friday. You ever wonder why it's called good? I mean, that's the day that Jesus died. It commemorates the day Jesus died. So what is good about it? It didn't look so good. There's things in going on in your life that probably don't look good, don't feel good, and frankly are not good. Actually, probably most of the things in our life, if we were honest, are just flat sinful. Or at least it's even just worth nothing at the most. But on Good Friday, something looked bad that turned out good because Sunday was coming. See, that's what God does. God doesn't have to pay off on every Friday like we think. See, God's got a different time than we have, but all things are working for good. You let him do it. You believe it and you trust him. You hang in there. Even when you feel like hanging yourself, even sometimes. God's going to make good out of it. I just got something to tell you that. He's good all the time. Secondly, not only is God good, he's good and he's mine and he's yours. Got it? Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Psalms 23, verse 1, is the most profound statement in the Old Testament. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that today? The Lord is my God. Because if you can, you have goodness gone to bed, so to speak. Now, God uses his goodness, or his means of goodness in a lot of places. His word. You got a Bible, it's yours. What do you do with it? It's about, this is called the good book, isn't it? It's about God's goodness. The gospel is good news. Do you realize the misery of multiplied millions in hell as I speak this morning and as you sit here? Hell is not some sort of figment of the imagination. It's a real place. And there are people there in gruesome agony. And we deserve to be there with them, my friends. We do. But God is so good. I'll tell you how in the world a Christian can have a bad day. I'll never know. I don't care if everything breaks, it floods, or we have a severe drought. God is good. And he's your God. And he's my God. When we go out here this morning, you ain't got to worry about the preacher following you home. You ain't got to worry about whether the preacher said anything right or wrong. You have the goodness of God in your heart. We sung, "Breathe on me, Holy Spirit." And if he does that, that is the fruit of his spirit. God's goodness. He uses people. There's people in your life that God uses to bring good things to you. You hear me? I don't have to tell you that. There's not a person in here, I know there's not, that would ever say God has not been good to you. There is there. And yet I know there's some lots of people that's had some hurt and lost it, things I don't understand. Bad things do happen to good people. They do. But you want to make a Christian fighting mad, you tell them, well, God hadn't been very good to you, has he? That's fighting words. God's been good to you. You know he has. What a blessing he has given us. I told you this story before. I'm going to tell it to you again. When I was doing forestry work, before I was a preacher, you can see the goodness of God every day. You don't have to be a preacher, by the way, to see that. So I got a phone call one night from a man in Effingham County. This man said to me, "Is this Randy Waters?" I said, "Yes, sir, this is Randy Waters." He said, "Well, son, I got something to tell you. Your logger has cut over the property line, and he has cut trees down in my swimming pool." That's true. That is not a good feeling. How in the world is anything good going to come out of that? I didn't sleep much that night, but I went on over there early the next morning. And I remember pulling in that man's house. It was in Rinkin area. It was a pristine area, resort. I mean, this man had two lion statues on each side of this long driveway. I still remember that. Brick statues of lions. I thought to myself, is this God? I mean, I drove down this winding paved road through a beautiful woodland. And I pull up in this house. Mansion. I walk in there and I don't know if he offered me a Coke or a Dr. Pepper or Gatorade or whether he offered me anything. It was just a blur. But I remember there sitting at the table with him and his wife. And I remember the sun shining through the window. And I did see the blueness of the sky. I was looking for something good. But I'm going to tell you what happened. When it was over, I left that place. And I didn't know how it worked, but that man was satisfied. I want you to know this. Have you got a call from God? Has God nudged your heart somewhere and said maybe something that you've done that is wrong and you know it? Don't you tell me you don't know it. Doesn't matter if you thought it was somebody else's fault. Are you responsible for it? I don't know what happened with that man, but I remember. I don't know what happened at the cross either. But that's how God took care of it. But here's the thing I tell you this story for about God's goodness. See, I went away feeling lots better. Now, there are some consequences of what I had to deal with. Don't get me wrong. We had to clean everything up. We had some damages to pay. But about 2 weeks later, that same man called me. He said, Randy, can you come over here tomorrow? I've got some work in my timberland I'd like for you to do. Now, can you believe that? That actually happened. I want to tell you what God will do. I want to tell you what how good he is. Do not think, well, you know, I've done this and that and the other. I'm going to tell you what. You in this room, if you know how big a sinner I was and what I've done in my life, you would not have me to be your preacher. You would hit the road. And yet, you know what God did? Because he is so good. Not only has he forgiven me, he has given me the privilege to be a part of a worker in his kingdom and his vineyard. And God will do that to you, my friends. That's how good he is. He is good. And he's yours. He's your God. Don't be so concerned about who are the elect or whether you're saved or not. The deal is, has he saved you? Because God says he's good and all things work together to them that love the Lord. You know why you love the Lord? Because he first loved you. See? You don't just start loving Jesus because you think that's the right thing to do. You might go to church if you want to. You might try to get the look of being religious. But if you really love God, it's going to affect everything you do. Because if you love God, you're going to hate sin. I have a brother-in-law that would make a lot better preacher than this one. He takes care of his wife. I mean, he does everything for her, night and day. And I told him one day in my carport, when they were leaving, I mean, he feeds her, helping her. I said, Dave, I just want you to know something. You are inspiring to me. You teach a man how he should love his wife. And I want to be able to do it. Should that ever come in my lot, like you do? I never will forget what he said. He said, Randy, she has been so good to me. I tell you, let that sink in. You're not serving God by merit and performance. I know you're not. You know why you have a fear of God? Or we ought to? Because we fear of hurting the one that has been so good to us. That is God. It is. You know what? One more thing about God's goodness. I said he works through people. I'll tell you this, if you're a married man, you can grab her hand right now if you want to. And you thank God for your wife. I'm going to tell you what God says about it. He who finds a wife, God says, finds a good thing. You know what a good wife will do? A good wife will keep you from sinning a whole lot. Not from being a sinner, but she'll keep you from sinning. I believe my wife, who I understand comes from God, because all things come from God, good things. A lot of things happen to me for good because of her, not me. I don't find any place in Scripture where a man is all that good to be a husband. So you ladies, you got the front row there. But lastly, I want to say this before you go. Now, I know you're just itching to get out of here, but it's only because God is good. And here's the deal. I've tried to say three things, and I can't finish the third one completely, but I want you to know that God is good all the time. You can't qualify that. You can't say, well, how did this happen to me? Then God is, no, he's good. He's good all the time. And then secondly, I want you to understand that God, this good God, is your God. He's the good shepherd. And when you follow Jesus, now this is what I want you to do. You follow Jesus because you know why? Not only is it the right thing to do, but he tells us in that Psalms 23 we mentioned a while ago, goodness and mercy will follow you. You follow Jesus, the good shepherd, and good things will follow you. But then lastly, God is good. It's the hurting kind. That's where we see, that's when we follow Jesus and we get to the cross. And now we don't go much further. Because God will hurt you. You understand that? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to get up here today and tell you something that, well, you know, this pie in the sky, you just start living for Jesus and everything's going to just work out just fine. It will work out just fine. But I want you to understand that God hurts, but he'll never harm us. What he does is disciplines, he chastens us, he refines us. Why? I didn't read verse 29 and 30. Because whom God has preordained, the foreknown, eternal life, he has conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And sometimes God has to chip away some things in our life to make us more like Jesus. And that hurts. It does. God uses suffering to bring good things out. You take Joseph in Egypt. That verse that goes along with Romans 8:28 and Genesis 50:20 says, telling his brothers, Joseph said, you meant all this for evil. You know they lied about Joseph. You know he was put in prison. All those things were done to him. Evil things. Wrong things. And you know what happened? Joseph said, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. I'm just telling you, this God we serve is good. He's good all the time. He's good and he's yours to have and to hold, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health. And even when you're parted by death, you'll go with him to embrace his goodness. Did you know that goodness, again, is a lot like love, and it can't be separated? God says in the same chapter of Romans, you know the verses, he who give his only son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Nothing can separate you from the goodness of God. Nothing. But you know, don't try to run away. Embrace the goodness of God. even when it hurts. And it does sometime. You know, I wanted to give you this. Here's an illustration you might remember. It helped me. If I take a ball, and I just take this ball, if I had one, I wouldn't do it really, but if I took it and I just threw it, you know, that thing would just go and go to where it finally just died, the motion would die. And that is called centrifugal force. It's a principle in physics. Well, the author could tell me more about that than I can. But it goes by just inertia. But there's another force that goes along with it called centripetal. Isn't that right, Brother Arthur? I hope it is. So if I took that ball and I tied a string on it, and I just took it up here and I just ran it round and round. That ball, you know where it's going? It's going to go right where I want it to go. It can't go but so far. Because there's a force pulling it in. See, that's how goodness of God is. See, the goodness of God, according to Romans 2:4, leadeth thee to repentance. You know why that God hadn't just let you go your own way? You know why some of you are sitting here with your heart breaking and grieving? You probably won't admit it. You probably won't come down here and acknowledge it. But you got to deal with God. You know why you feel like that? Because God's goodness is leading you to quit that stuff and follow Him. We're to be so thankful of God's restraining love. That He won't let us go. He won't. Our badness will not override God's goodness. It won't. He's good all the time. He is yours. It will hurt. But you understand that God's goodness. I spent some time over here a few blocks away in my daughter's physical therapy when I had knee replacement. And the physical therapist there told me, she said, Mr. Randy, I know this knee is going to be painful because people that have knee replacements holler the loudest of any patients we have. And she was right. But you know what? It was a good hurt. You understand that? A good hurt. Maybe that's in your life and mine. You let God deal with it, okay? He's good all the time. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your blessings. Lord, thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy and grace and love. We can't really separate them, but Lord, we easily can forget them. Please forgive us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.